Warning, this show contains strong language and topics that some viewers may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, Regular Sam. You got any ideas for the Superback promo?
Nope.
You have no ideas for the show that's this weekend?
Nothing yet.
What if I punch this mirror?
Why would you do that?
Well, Payback uses broken glass, so if I...
Don't do that.
Supla City, and welcome to another edition of the Supla. I am Andy Kwan, and with me, as always, is Sam Brooks.
So, in spite of the last show that you and I did together, I've taken some feedback on board.
Okay.
And I am now wearing pants.
Good man, that's what I'd like to hear. Wear some freaking pants.
I mean, I don't like it, but.
Or, as we
it's
say
happening.
In this country, trousers.
Hmm.
So, now awkward. Cheers.
So the last time you were here, something weird happened.
Many weird things happened.
And I'm not talking about the Grunk skit.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about Jinder Mahal.
Yes.
World's most famous jobber, becoming number one contender for the WWE Championship.
Why?
Why, indeed. There's a couple of reasons why, and we're going to go into that in today's show, but we have some comments, one on our Facebook from Luke, which says, I love the idea. He has the potential to become a main heel, and also, maybe Muhammad Hassan 2.0. He needs a bit of work on certain areas, but I love the unpredictability of it and hope he continues being on the upper card. Were you around for Muhammad Hassan?
Yes, I was. I was around. And
was there any period where it was good? Because I wasn't. The only thing I know is that he debuted as a terrorist on the day of the London bombings.
No, what happened was he originally debuted as this... trying to think what the best politically correct...
Arab-American.
Arab-American. And he was like, I love America, but you all hate me just because I'm my fucking... family are from a different place. Fuck you. It was basically the gimmick. And he was like, I just want to be accepted. And then it kind of divulged into LOL, I hate America. And then LOL, I'm now strangling The Undertaker with piano wire. And it got cut from SmackDown. And then it was like, last ride through the stage. And he was never seen again.
And then he retired due to backstage hazing.
Yeah.
From who do you think did that, eh? You're right, good old Gibbles.
So,
in regards to Mahal being in the upper card and the unpredictability of all of this, I'm having a hard time believing that unpredictability means that it's good.
Yeah, like, there's... Like, there is a scale. There is definitely a scale where, it's... You have Russo level of just doing it for the sake of doing it.
David Arquette winning the world championship.
Shit like that. Or himself winning the title. To, it's just predictable, boring, and stale.
Cena goes over the Nexus.
Yeah, there needs to be a happy little middle ground. And in the whole, I don't want to say kayfabe, but in the whole, like, structure of things, a guy who hasn't won a match in years.
Ah, you say this. A couple of people in the comments have pointed out that he won a match against Heath Slater in his return to become a Raw talent.
Okay, one match.
So technically, he's won one match in the past 5 years.
But that's what I'm saying. He's won one match in the past 5 goddamn years.
I'm actually going to go onto the cage match database, if that's what it's called, and I'm going to get up Jinder Mahal's record, and I'm going to see how many, like, wins and losses he has to his name. I feel like this could be fun.
Yes, that could be good. But the point is, it needs to be grounded in some kind of logic or some kind of, like...
Yeah, logic is the thing that I'm struggling to apply to this.
Some kind of
The guy that loses all of his matches, he suddenly gets traded to SmackDown, and because he finally smartened up and decided to make some friends in the Bollywood Boys, or the Singh Twins, or whatever they're called now, he's now number one contender because he finally decided to wisen up a little bit.
I mean, the thing is, like,
in kayfabe, anyway.
it could have been a gradual thing, where they just pushed him and pushed him and pushed him and pushed him and pushed him, and then, like, finally went for it. But this was just so sudden, and it was just like, no. And, like, Meltzer said, well, one of the reasons why is Rusev is gone, because he's injured. So you kind of, well, they're kind of stuck in a weird situation where it's like, well, we need to push somebody now. We've just traded the number one bad guy to face Orton to Raw. So we're buggered. And if we don't think of something quick, we're screwed. But why do you pick the guy that hasn't won a match in so long, and then when he does win, he wins one match in 5 years?
Well, there's a reason for that, and we're going to go into that, but we have more of these to go through, including comment from me, because I wasn't on that episode, and I didn't get to express my full opinions, and after a couple of days to let it sink in, I still don't like it. Let me read off what I said. It basically said, I'm a fan of the idea that the Bollywood Boys are finally doing something, because the Bollywood Boys, from what I've seen at least, aren't that bad. They're actually okay as a tag team, so it's okay that they're getting a spotlight. As cronies, I'll take whatever they give, basically. But I harken back to James Ellsworth. Remember James Ellsworth?
Yes, I do.
Remember how he got several world title matches against AJ Styles?
Sadly, yes.
And how I hated it.
Yeah.
I look back on that now, and I think it wasn't so bad. And with Ellsworth, at least, you know, there was a point. Like, he had a following. I'm not saying that Jinder Mahal doesn't have a following, but I'm saying people online and in general in the audience, they liked him. Ironically or otherwise, they got behind this weird little chinless dude. And I can appreciate that. But with Mahal, no one that I've seen likes anything about him. They don't like his in-ring work, they don't like his look, because for some reason, him specifically taking steroids is the biggest problem ever, even though it's wrestling, and steroids are the most common thing ever. Literally everyone takes them, until proven otherwise. But no, it's definitely a problem with Jinder Mahal, because I don't know why. Why do people keep focusing on the steroid thing? Maybe you can tell me this.
Well, the thing is, he's like, he's built like, sorry, I was looking for a bookmark that we're going to talk about later, but he's like this, like, if you compare him to what he looked like in NXT, to what he looks like now, his veins are bulging out, his shoulders have kind of got shoulders within shoulders. He just looks like a man that doesn't look like he could pass a piss test.
Okay, with that logic applied.
Oh, look at him, he's big! He's gotta have a push.
Yes, but with that logic applied, I'm gonna say to you a name. Neville. Exact same thing. No one says this about Neville. Seriously, if you get a picture of him now, and you get a picture of him back in 2014, there's a clear difference.
But he's always looked a bit like that.
I know he's always been built, but recently he's looked more built than ever. He looks like a fucking Greek statue, compared to what he used to look like.
The issue is Jinder Mahal, like, Pac was well built, and Neville is quite well built, but like, with Jinder, he wasn't even that well built, and now suddenly he's like, blah! Like, I don't, like, there's a little difference where you're like, I can see that making sense. He just lifted more heavy weights at the gym, Neville probably did, but then with like Jinder, it's like, well, you were kind of pudgy before, but now you've suddenly become like, what? Like, no,
and even then, okay, so he took steroids to look the way he does.
Allegedly.
So
we're not saying anything.
Why is it a problem still? Like, even if he did, what's the problem?
I don't know.
It's wrestling.
It's just the ongoing, like, well, you'll get a push if you look like some kind of Greek god.
Yeah, but he's looked like this for months, and he never got a push before now. But anyway, I just don't see why it's a big deal that everyone accuses him of taking steroids and he's suddenly the most evil dude on the planet because he bulked up a little bit. But I think that's another conversation for another debate, but...
Probably, yes.
Like I say, I've never seen anyone praise Mahal for anything. Like, we've never known him to do anything. Like, he's been a jobber. He's had no platform to showcase his skills, and maybe now this will be a change from that, but at the same time, it's like, what could there possibly be lying underneath this guy that we haven't seen for the past 5 years?
That's the other thing as well.
Even when he showed up in, like, 2011 or 2012, whenever he showed up, and he had that feud with Carly over his sister or something, like...
Yeah, something.
There was nothing to win back then.
I think as well that the other issue is, if this was a gradual push, I don't think many people would give a shit.
But the fact that it's so sudden and sprung upon is the fact that it's weird more than anything.
And that's the problem.
A couple other points I made were, like, I guess Jinder is easier to dislike across all demographics because, you know, marks won't like him because he's a heel and Reddit users hate him because he takes rights. And the whole thing about he's popular in India, I can't speak for that. I'm clearly not Indian.
Andy
might have Indian ancestors, but we don't know if he's Indian at all.
Would you like to talk about this now briefly?
Let's go into this.
Okay. So there's backstage news on Jinder Mahal's push. So according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, the likes of Big Dave and Big Ryan, the push of Jinder Mahal has everything to do with a new strategy basically to do in India, which was a last-minute decision because WWE have done nothing to position him as a top star. The push of Mahal and the former Bollywood boys comes along with the hiring of Shatish... Christ. Shivastava, which I fucking butchered that and I apologise, who is now the new vice president and general manager for WWE India. WWE has more social media followers in India than anywhere else, including the United States, which is obviously the WWE's home base. Even if Mahal doesn't get over as a big star in the US, the feeling is that he'll get over huge in India. And the tryouts this week in Dubai, whether intentional or not, have basically cut off Impact Wrestling and Zony 6's plans of a show in India using locals as top star. Wait, what? This news story is wrong. Dubai is in the United Arab Emirates. So they're just retarded. So basically, they are trying to get Indian talent, apparently, to stop Impact Wrestling and Zony 6.
I mean, there's a couple of things with this. Like, clearly, if you've been paying any attention since 2016, WWE are clearly on a conquest to dominate the world. Like, they did the Cruiserweight Classic to dominate America by taking all of the indie talents. They've done the UK tournament to take up the British indie scene, and they've done that really fucking well. And now, this is the logic that I don't get. Like, okay, obviously, people, I assume if you're Indian, you're more likely to cheer an Indian star. But India has a lot of people. 1 billion people, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That is a lot of people.
A lot of people. Surely they're capable of cheering, I don't know, AJ Styles. Or another, a top guy you can have as a contender for the championship that doesn't have to be Indian. And more importantly, doesn't have to be Jinder fucking Mahal, who hasn't had a single good thing about him since he showed up.
If you look at Facebook comments...
And I constantly refer to India as the land where kayfabe runs alive and well because they print off wrestling storylines in their newspapers.
And it's not just that, like, this, the comments are like, "I love you, John Cena," and it's just,
well, John
Cena's
popular
shit
everywhere. Like,
yeah, and it's not just that. It's just like I love WWE. Like, well, it's just mental. Like, do you think it's all real?
Yeah.
What? So, yeah, all right, make some money, makes sense, but. The issue that I have is that WWE's home is in the US. So, if he's not over back home, who cares?
That's like saying, oh, it's good that we have Roman Reigns in his position because they give someone, the Samoans, someone to root for. And it's like, okay, fine, but...
Yeah, but you could do that without making him number one contender. You could still push him and be a top-level guy.
Mm.
It's like William Regal. This is the perfect example. Mm. William Regal, even when he was a heel, and with the brass knucks and the commissioner and doing this whole pompous waving bullshit. He was still getting cheered in England. There was nothing you could do to make people boo William Regal in England. It's just what happens. If you're in your home country, you get cheered. Does not matter. Doesn't matter if you're from India, England, Canada, America, Germany, Switzerland, fucking, I don't know, Antarctica. Don't make any difference. Just keep listing countries, Andrew.
We could be here all day.
You're getting cheered. Doesn't make a fucking difference.
It doesn't,
so, why are you putting the belt on him if your own home country doesn't give a toss about
it? I mean, I guess he's an effective heel in the way that everyone hates him, but... And that's hard to come by nowadays.
This is... Yeah, okay.
Still, though. And another thing that I say is, like, this entire thing just screams, we don't want Baron Corbin to fight Randy Orton yet. So we're just going to pad out the challenges until we get, you know, Baron Corbin up into the main event. Because I feel like that's what they're doing with him. I feel like they're building Baron for the main event slowly but surely, which is what they should be doing with fucking Jinder, but...
Yeah, it's like the opposite way round. It's like, Baron should have been the guy to win.
It wasn't Jinder even in the match. Like, he's feuding... He's somehow involved with AJ Styles, I think, and the US title, somehow, I think.
But you've been pushing Baron.
Mm.
Like, he won the Battle Royal, nobody cares about. He's had feuds with, like, Dean Ambrose. He's had feuds with, like, Sami Zayn and random people like that. He's had, like, good feuds.
Put it this way.
So, why not?
Ever since arriving on SmackDown, Corbin has only lost to three people. Three major stars. Okay. John Cena. Yeah. Randy Orton. And Dean Ambrose.
Fair enough.
He's beaten everybody else. If that doesn't scream, we want him to be a top guy at some point. Not right now, but at some point in the future this year.
But not, I don't know not what right does. Now. You need more bloody people.
I guess because of the India thing, they're just putting Jinder up front and center. And I guess it makes sense, but at the same time, like... That, why did that not help you before in booking Jinder Mahal to at least be credible?
Yeah.
Like, why is it that we haven't had a successful Indian performer in WWE since arguably the great Khali?
And the other issue is, it's not just your home base, no one gives a toss about him. What about the rest of the planet?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just America. What about over here? What about in Europe? What about in fucking... in Asia? Like, in Japan, and South Korea, and North Korea?
Literally never seen anyone praise Jinder Mahal for anything.
That's what I mean. If nobody cares elsewhere, then whoop-de-doo! Like, his own home country like him. Of course they do! Like, it's a given, right? So, what? He has to be over... Oh, The Rock was... Of course, The Rock was only over in Samoa in America. Of course, yes.
Yeah.
That was a thing. Stone Cold was only over in the United States, and Bret Hart was only over in Canada. Of course. All of these things are true.
British Bulldog was only ever over in here, right?
God damn it. It's not... You know what I mean? Like,
I know. It's weird, like, the way they play to nationality sometimes, but... Nonetheless, I left that comment, and I got a reply from somebody.
Okay.
Who wanted to try and dispute me. Don't do that. I'll smack you down. Veer K, if that is in fact your real name, says.
I doubt it, but you never know.
And there's typos in here, but you know, I don't read out typos in people's comments because I'm not a dick. Hint, hint.
Why? Hey, learn how to spell.
Spell Mississippi.
Okay. M-I-S-S-I-I...
Eh! Time's up. So...
No, I was...
You got it wrong. You said I twice. No. There's no double I's.
M-I-S-S... P...
No. That's MISP. Anyway, we're not sitting here and learning, like, remedial English, okay? We're reading a comment from VK, which says... You do realize it's scripted... So, a jobber isn't really a jobber. That's the first statement here. What does that mean?
Okay.
First of all, wrestling scripted.
Yeah, but it's...
Whoa, it's, you don't yeah, say.
It's how you write them in your script.
If he's written as a jobber, he's a jobber.
You know what I mean?
Sorry like, to tell you. Like, if he's presented on TV as a man that loses all of his matches to more popular talent, he's a jobber. That's what Jinder Mahal has been and has ever been for the past couple of years. Even when he was in Free MB, that was all he ever was. And that's what all he ever was until a couple of weeks ago where he won the single match and he's now number one contender. That's, he was a jobber. Thoroughbred.
If I said to you, which of the Free MB members would be getting a WWE title shot in the next couple of years, who would you go for out of those three?
Number one, Drew McIntyre. Number two, Heath Slater. Number three, Jinder fucking Mahal.
Is that, what in the name of God?
Even Heath Slater, I would have had a better time believing. In like an Ellsworth type role as well. I could have thoroughly believed that, but no. We're getting Jinder. But anyway, the comment continues. This is the only window when WWE can try and experiment with the talent until SummerSlam, when AJ will be back chasing the WWE title. You don't want that moment to be wasted on a random pay-per-view. The only window to experiment with talent. That's all year.
Well,
I'd argue that there's no specific time where you're not allowed to experiment with talent, unless maybe Rumble to Mania. Even that's 3 months out of an entire year. That's 9 months you have. That's not really a window.
I can see where this guy's coming from. Because I've, like, Keelan's just like, I can't be fucked. Because after Mania, you have, like, this weird period of time where it's, like, weird kind of downtime, this lull kind of moment where you're just like, well, Mania's been in the garden. Who fucking cares? Like, that kind of time period where, like, for me it's just like this weird wilderness time period which is like, oh, we're just waiting until SummerSlam. So I can see where he's coming from on that regard.
But at the same time, I disagree, because in the run up to SummerSlam you have like Money in the Bank and Extreme Rules and stuff. Well, you have like marquee events.
Yeah, once Money in the Bank comes along, then obviously like something happens, someone's got a briefcase, like then it kind of it picks up a bit. Now it's just like, payback. I don't care. Like, whatever the next SmackDown show is.
Backlash.
You know what I mean? It's just like,
Well, that just speaks volumes about your enthusiasm more than it does anyone else's, but another thing he said, you don't want that moment to be wasted on a random pay-per-view. AJ winning the WWE title, you don't want that moment to be wasted. Andy, what happened at Fastlane? What happened with Charlotte? Didn't she lose her 16-win pay-per-view streak to Bayley at Fastlane?
Yeah.
The pay-per-view before WrestleMania?
Yeah, that was dumb.
You say that WWE don't want to waste moments. That's all they do. Other than maybe a couple of handful of moments, every time, they only build up numbers to have numbers. That's it. They only build them up so that they exist, and then they just fuck them off, throw them away whenever it suits them best.
Yeah,
that's all WWE ever does. I'm convinced Asuka isn't going to lose until a B-show pay-per-view on the main roster. That's it.
Oh, did you hear the rumor that Paul Heyman's going to be managing Asuka?
Oh, fucking hell. Right. Here's a newsflash. Putting Paul Heyman with talents that can't talk doesn't automatically mean that said talent is going to succeed.
It worked with Brock because...
It worked with Brock. Here's the following people that it didn't work with. Cesaro.
Yep.
Curtis Axel.
But that was just stupid to begin with.
Ryback.
Yep.
Paul Heyman isn't a fucking band-aid, alright? He's not a miracle cure-all magic fuck-off-sized potion that can make anyone over on the main roster. He doesn't work like that. He needs a fucking relationship with his client. Like with Punk, or with Lesnar, Or dare I say it, even Big Show. Big Show had Paul Heyman at one point. Look how well that did for him. No one remembers that. Do you remember that?
It wasn't a good time period for anyone really involved.
No, it wasn't. My point being, okay, put Paul Heyman with Asuka. Alright, it'd be weird, but Heyman's with Lesnar.
Yeah.
He's always going to be with Lesnar. Lesnar's never going away. Heyman will always be with Lesnar. There's not going to be an intermediate period where he suddenly takes interest in this random Japanese woman and decides to manage her while Bork is off in the mountains. Alright, that's not happening. And if it does, great, I'm proved wrong. But at the same time, fuck off. You don't need Paul Heyman to manage everybody that can't speak English. Is Nakamura doing fine on his own? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, but there's a difference between Nakamura and Asuka. Like, Nakamura has that weird charismatic vibe about him that you just can't explain.
Weird hand Asuka movements.
Doesn't have that.
Asuka has charisma, but it's a different kind of charisma. She exudes a different feeling, a feeling of dread and terror.
That's...
Yeah. You don't need Paul Heyman to amplify that. Lesnar, you kind of do, because if he talks, it's over. Right?
Here's the fundamental thing where I think this whole thing is going wrong.
This whole thing.
Stop having everyone talk! If you can't talk, don't talk! Just kick the shit out of people! Asuka just needs to kick women in the face. That's what she needs to
do.
She's
been doing that for over a year, and it's been fine. She said maybe a grand total of 20 words.
It's fine!
You don't need to fucking get out a dictionary and read it back to front, right?
Yeah, it's fine. Just let her kick people in the head. Done. Sorted. Mm-hmm. End of story. Finish. Case closed. That's it. She'll get over. Done.
God. Anyway, we're still not done with interesting comments, because we got several here. One from Bullet Club vs. The Shield, which starts off by saying, I like the new haircut, Andy.
Thank you.
I didn't even notice you had it cut, to be fair, so...
What's that?
I didn't even notice that you had it cut, so...
No, I got it cut. I've got it slicked back as well, slightly.
Okay, so you don't look like the Fuhrer?
I look more like Corey Graves now.
Okay, keep telling yourself that.
Minus all the tats.
Right. She then continues, is anyone more annoyed that the WWE title is rumored to not be on the line at Payback? When is Bray going to get his rematch? He's not.
He's not. He's on a different brand now. Deal with it.
That's the problem with the shakeup, is that they didn't think about what was going to happen after they moved talent between brands. They're thinking, oh, the former champion is on a different brand to the current champion, and he's never going to go back, and we're not changing the titles. What do? I'll just put him in a foregone conclusion House of Horrors match, whatever the fuck that is, because even they don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows.
Sunday, by the way.
And the pay-per-view is this weekend! What is it?
The other thing. Here's the other stupid thing. They've already explained it in like an offshoot fucking comment from Jericho during Raw. He's like, this is going to be the last time you're going to see me on Raw because I'm going to win the United States title. So does that mean then he... Because he said that. So does that mean he is going to SmackDown if he wins the title?
Yeah. There's actually a stipulation with that where if Jericho beats Owens, Owens goes back to Raw. And then Jericho goes to SmackDown. So, it's like you pointed out at some point, they drafted the belts. They didn't draft the people holding them. Makes sense.
Why didn't they explain that then?
Maybe they did on SmackDown, but I read it up on Wikipedia, because that's what I do when I don't know things. I look it up. I widen my berth of knowledge, so I don't get mad about it on a podcast.
But then what's the point in the podcast?
Touche.
So
I'm sad about Bray Wyatt again. Welcome back to normality.
Yeah.
They had something! They had something there! But then they just fucked it up! With a shit match at WrestleMania where they had the fucking maggots on the floor and the snake on the thing that looked like a sperm, apparently.
Yes, I have. No, it does! Even Orton, it looks like...
I don't give a shit what Orton thinks! I think that sperm does not look like snakes!
But that's because that wasn't a snake, Samuel. That was sperm.
Your
that
sperm looks weird.
Flipping and flopping around.
Your sperm has eyes and teeth? No wonder you have a streak.
I didn't say eyes and teeth. I said, what did I say?
I said you had something with Bray Wyatt. But you had a shit match at WrestleMania with maggots on the floor. It made no sense. And it was an underwhelming match. It was the worst match for the WWE title since 2014. 2013. Whenever that weird match was that no one liked. You built him up. You had him pin AJ Styles and John Cena clean in the same match. How do you fuck that up to the point where he goes to Raw and he's not even a main eventer anymore? Because heads up, if you're not Roman Reigns, you're not a main eventer on Raw. Sorry. If you're not... Why? Why did they have to ruin this? They had something with him for the first time in 3 years and they fucked it up because, oh, we didn't think it through, guys. We didn't... None of those pencil pushers in the office thought to think, hey, what do we do when we send the former champion, the number one contender who has a rematch over to a different brand where the title belts aren't changing because Randy Orton isn't going to lose in this made-up matchup we don't even know what it is?
Good, good. Let the hate flow through you. It's good, right?
I don't feel good.
No, that's a good feeling. Embrace that feeling. That same hatred, now you can pump into Roman Reigns.
But I like Roman Reigns.
No, you don't like Roman Reigns.
You don't like what you like, Sam. You like what I like. Me, Andy Kwan.
I'm basically Vince.
You are. How's Derek doing?
Derek is...
Shut up about Derek. So we have maybe one more comment. Oh yeah, here's the thing that I enjoy seeing people complain about. We have a comment here from... Okay. Kiss Shot Arceola Orion Heart Underblade. That's a name.
Okay.
Who says? It's a dialogue exchange. The WWE Universe says they need to push new and younger talent. Jinder Mahal becomes the new number one contender. Herder, why is Jinder Mahal number one contender?
But we've explained this.
Yeah, okay. If you push younger talent, one, it has to make sense, and two, it has to be younger talent that has proven to be worth something.
Yes.
Unlike Jinder, who has gone several years without showing any strong suits.
And not only that, his first win was like last year in forever. So what? Like pushing a Samoa Joe or Sami Zayn on Raw would make, or Sami Zayn or Smack. Why don't you just actually do it to someone that people actually like, who's actually good?
Let's actually look at the other people in this match and it would have made more sense, alright? Sami Zayn. You could have had heel Orton against Sami Zayn. I think that could have been good.
That would have been alright.
Classic underdog story. Zayn wouldn't have won, of course, but, you know, it's something for Zayn, at least, to show that he can hang with main event talent like Randy fucking Orton. Luke Harper, he's good. Don't get me wrong, he's one of the most underrated people in that company right now, but I can't see him fighting Randy Orton for the title. I wouldn't have minded, and I wouldn't have hated it, but I couldn't see it happening.
Well, you couldn't see with Jinder, so...
Fair point. Eric Rowan... Big Red. The co-main eventer of WrestleMania next to The Rock.
Oh, God, yes. Jesus.
Everyone likes him, for some reason. Most improved wrestler of the Supla 2014.
Yeah, we have made some dumb decisions.
Yeah. Eh. Mojo Rawley.
God, please, no.
No, here's the thing. I hate Mojo Rawley more than anybody.
His Gronk friend is a disease.
But if he won, I would have at least understood. Because he's been winning matches lately, and he won the fucking armbar by eliminating Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't have liked it, but I would have appreciated it and accepted it, because it would have... And here's the thing. It would have made sense. Which this doesn't.
Yeah. Sorry.
What was the match? Mahal, Rawley, Harper, Rowan, Zayn, Ziggler. I don't like Ziggler. I haven't liked Ziggler for several years. He had a championship shot last year, and it was boring. He had a boring match with Dean Ambrose. How do you do that? Not a fan of Ziggler. Haven't been for several years. Probably won't ever be. Because he's now cutting promos on Shinsuke Nakamura, comparing him to Michael Jackson. And it's the cringiest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Ziggler vs. Orton? We must have seen that at some point in the last 10 years that Ziggler has been employed.
It's got the, at least a thing.
I would have been fine not seeing that. Jinder Mahal, 0 cents. My earphone fell out because it made 0 cents. Fuck. Ugh. Yep, I don't like it, Andy. Stupid. I don't like it. And I know that he's not going to win because... Well, I'm worried, dude. What if he wins? What if Jinder wins? What if Jinder fucking Mahal beats Randy Orton? What then? What do we do? What was the point in anything?
I don't know anymore.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
And like, SmackDown is such a weird bitch, right? Because you have this main event scene, which is entirely unpredictable, to the point where Jinder Mahal could be your fucking world champion after Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, John Cena, AJ Styles. One of these things is not like the others, right? But then you have Raw, where Brock Lesnar is going to hold it until WrestleMania, leaving no variety for anything. With Raw, it's terrible. But with SmackDown, it's just weird for different reasons. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate the unpredictability, like Luke Helm said on Facebook, but like, do it with better guys.
Yeah.
And if anything, because of this whole India thing, this is an indicator that they haven't built up any Indian talent since the Great Khali. And that was 10 years ago. Maybe there's a bigger problem at work here.
Well, there's only so much of that we can talk about before we go fucking insane. So, according to many news outlets, such as the New York Post and IGN, Zony is making a biopic about Vince McMahon.
Who?
Sony Pictures is reporting.
Oh, Sony. Right, sorry. You said Zony first, and I thought Sony. That was like a weird underground version of Sony, but...
Sony?
Yeah, Sony, that's what you said. Is it Zony or Sony, Andy? Which one is it?
Sony.
Sony. Okay.
They're reportedly making a biopic about WWE chairman and CEO Vince McMahon. The film will cover the billionaire's rise to the top of the wrestling industry, how he worked as an in-ring announcer and helped build up icons such as Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold whilst transforming his father's empire into a global brand. McMahon is apparently given his blessing, with WWE Studios president Michael Luzzi signing on to serve as producer. Andrew Lazar, who produced American Sniper, will also be involved, along with Adam Goldworm of Aperture Entertainment. The drama, that's been dubbed Pandemonium, will be directed by Glenn Ficarra and John Requa.
On the day you pronounced names correctly.
Oh, and it's Sony TriStar Pictures that are doing it. Isn't that wonderful?
You know, remember that time when FIFA made a movie about FIFA and how FIFA was made?
But that was around the time when all the bad things were happening with FIFA.
Yeah, the corruption scandal
FIFA
happened.
FIFA is not corrupt and evil! Like, FIFA is fine. Sepp Blatter is not corrupt. Everything is good.
We don't bully our own employees into quitting. Everything's fine.
And there wasn't like some weird fucking corruption into getting the World Cup into Russia and Qatar. No, there was nothing bad at all. Then, and by the way, half his World Cup should probably not be that.
The steroid trial.
Like,
I'm saying, all I can think of whenever I hear they're making a movie about Vince McMahon and how the WWE was made, I think of United Passions, the movie where FIFA was made, and it was a shit show, and it became one of the worst movies of all time, in both the box office and critically. Like, yeah. I can't see this doing well. It depends how they go. If they actually, like, tell the truth in a movie, in a biopic, maybe it could be good.
I was talking to Keelan and Liam about this. And
of course you were. You live together. It's healthy that you have conversations with your roommates.
So basically, like, Vince has had a very weird life.
Sure.
Like, quite literally, you could do 4 movies about his fucking life. Not
one.
We
probably will.
And the thing is, like, he grew up in a trailer.
Yep.
his real dad, because I think his stepdad left or something happened dramatic. So that's a story in its own right. He met his real dad, who turned out he was running a wrestling company, and he's like, I like this wrestling, I want to do it. And that's how he got into it.
In that voice, he said that.
Oh,
well, I'm Vince McMahon, I love wrestling.
That's young Vince. Once he hit puberty, he was like, oh, damn it. And
so when you hit puberty, you'll actually get a gruff voice.
I have hit puberty, which
I've
is
yet
worrying.
To see any evidence.
I'm not doing anything weird on camera.
What?
So basically what happened after that is obviously Vince then takes over. He buys out bloody everyone out. And then the steroid trial happens. Before that, the rise of Hulkamania happens. Then the WWF nearly goes out of business in 96. And then, oh God, here comes Stone Cold. And here comes The Rock.
Attitude Era. WCW feud. Monday Night War. Yeah, ruthless aggression. Buying out WCW. Did they say how much this movie's going to cover? Because I don't think we have 5 hours to sit
through.
This
is the thing. This movie, I don't... They're going to have to do 8 movies. There's no way you can do this in an hour and a half. Unless this is like Lord of the Rings and it just goes on for hours and hours and hours.
Vince McMahon, the extended edition.
Yeah, I don't know what else you could do. And who's going to play Vince?
As a film guy, it's... Who's going to play Vince is one question, but...
Yeah.
The way they're probably going to do this is they're going to have... As opposed to his entire life... Where one day, as a teenager, he went to the shops and he bought some crisps instead
yes,
of that.
They're going to have flashbacks like that. You feckin' idiot!
You haven't seen many biopics.
Are you shitting me? Like one day, Derek went to the shops and bought some skips. Like I can't be hell.
That would be his fucking biopic. It would just be that.
No, he would have a great biopic. He would be like he was a BMXer. He was a wrestler. He then turned to crime. He's all good.
So, what they'll probably do with the Vince movie, Vince McMovie, is
that's
they
what they
will,
should call it. Vince McMovie.
The Vince McMovie.
What is pandemonium? What
they'll
is
have
that?
Like, I don't know. They'll have maybe early life for the first 10 minutes, teenage years for 5 minutes. Then they'll go straight into buying up promotions. Then they'll go into the Attitude Era. Then they'll go into... When do you think the cutoff point will be? Because, I don't know, ever since, like, 2003, the WWE hasn't really done much. And I know they have, but, like, in terms of making a movie, what would they do after the Attitude Era? The rise of John Cena? Brock Lesnar? Kurt Angle?
But that's got nothing to do with Vince.
It's got nothing to do with Vince. Like, what has Vince done? Unless they make up some shit, or they do the ridiculous stories that you hear. I can't wait for the Played Ryan from Hell chapter.
Or the I Pushed My Son Into a Pool chapter.
Yeah. Or the Burrito chapter.
What's the Burrito chapter?
You don't know the Vince McMahon Burrito story?
No.
Oh, it's the story where he didn't know what a burrito was. He called it a steak wrap. He had ketchup on it. Yeah.
How did this guy become successful?
Because he lives in his own little bubble.
Okay, but not only that, what about the sneezing story?
Oh yeah, Favity hates sneezing.
What's that?
Favity hates sneezing and won't allow it in meetings.
Are they gonna explain that?
This is gonna be the weirdest movie ever.
And here's my other thing. Is this going to be a box office movie?
No, it's going to be an indie movie. Like, what? Yes. It's going to be box office.
Who
I want to make money
the
off
fuck
it.
Is going to watch this?
Us.
Yeah, but besides from us and wrestling fans, like, who is a normal person?
Besides from the
normal
millions
person,
and millions
like
of wrestling fans.
Like, would like any average person who doesn't like wrestling want to go watch a film about Vince McMahon? Oh, Christ, the XFL happened. Fuck me. There's so much shit. So, who's going to watch this?
Us.
Besides from us, would the public actually care about this?
I don't know. Do I look like the guy that decided to make this movie? Like, I don't know. If anything, if a movie's going to be in the box office, we're going to try and market it so that the most amount of people will see it. Some movies work. So I imagine they're going to try and encapsulate some people who maybe used to watch wrestling or used to like The Rock before he reemerged as the world's most famous man. You know, there's got to be reasons.
Yeah. It's almost like you could actually use The Rock in the movie, because guess what? He's an actor now.
Dwayne Johnson as Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, Dwayne Johnson as a very smaller version of himself.
The Pebble. So who's playing Vince?
I don't know.
Kirk Douglas. Who could play Vince?
Daniel Day-Lewis?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
That would be good.
If you had a milkshake, and I had a milkshake, damn it. And it goes across the room.
Who's going to play Stephanie or Shane or Linda? Because I'm guessing they would have to be in the movie as well.
Well, I fucking guess his family would be in the fucking movie.
So who's playing them?
Chadwick Boseman will play Shane.
Who the hell is that?
Black Panther.
Does that make sense?
No. That's why it was funny.
Oh.
But you didn't laugh because you don't know who fucking Chadwick Boseman is.
Yep.
He's the black man.
Okay, I got it. I got it before you even said that.
Fucking Christ. I don't know about this movie, man. It would be funny. But it's like the Page movie. Like,
why is that happening?
Why is everyone making wrestling movies now? Why is that a market that's being exploited now? It makes no sense.
It's like The Rock was a wrestler, so wrestling must be good.
It's not.
No.
Let me spoil it for you. It's not. It's awful. It's the absolute worst thing ever.
Stop doing movies.
No, don't stop doing movies. Stop doing wrestling movies. But I mean, like, wrestling movies in general have never been good.
Besides from, like, Beyond the Mat, and that probably is.
Well, that was a documentary.
Okay.
Like, biopics or, like, serialized fiction movies. Like, oh, yeah, remember that classic? Okay, The Wrestler is good. But that was in 2008. Or 2012, wherever that was made. A long time ago. Before then, you had such classics as Ready to Rumble. And,
Yep, that's it. That's literally it. It's like some The Wrestler and Ready to Rumble. That's gotta be it.
I mean, maybe... No, because I'm just thinking of movies that Hulk Hogan was in. But they aren't wrestling movies. They're just shit movies.
Technically, Rocky 2?
Rocky is boxing.
Yeah, but Hulk Hogan's in Rocky 2, isn't he?
Yeah, but it wasn't about wrestling.
Or 3? Or whatever one it was. But he faced a wrestler in that.
But even then, it's Rocky. It's about boxing.
All right, then, fine. Jesus, I'm trying to, like... Clutch at straws here.
Don't. Okay. Let go of those straws, man.
Oh, the straws are gone. Sprinkle. That's still a meme?
I don't know what you're doing.
The sprinkle meme. So, as well, WWE may or may not have purchased the rights to Broken Gimmick.
What are the sources, Andy? Who says this? Where do they say it?
The internet.
Be more specific.
I don't have the source in front of me.
It is a tweet.
Oh, right. So, a tweet from Matt Hardy would suggest this.
No.
Sam?
Not from Matt Hardy.
What?
Oh, my God. This is why you don't talk about things if you don't know what the source material is, Andy.
Yeah. Do you want
to
do it?
A tweet from PW Stream says, apparently, WWE has reached an agreement to buy the Broken Gimmick from TNA, which explains Hardy's increased use of mannerisms on hashtag Raw. Well. It is a tweet. From PW Stream. Okay. Until I hear at least 5 credible sources, and until I see it on TV, I'm not going to believe it. Remember when they said that WWE bought the TNA tape library? And we all shock horror, they didn't. You know what the source of that news was? I'm not believing anything until I see it. In this day and age where the rumor mill has been going into overdrive, I'm not going to believe this until I see it.
It could be fake news.
Yep, it could be. But, saying that, to end the show, how would you book Matt Hardy into being broken?
Get him twatted in the head with a ladder.
This is why you don't work for creative.
Why? It makes sense. He has to be... He just
okay, yes, it can make sense, but that's the most boring thing you could do. You know what you instead do?
Okay, what's that?
Whoever tag champs right now?
The Hardy Boys.
Which tag team recently moved up to Raw?
The Revival.
The Revival will beat the Hardys for the tag titles.
Okay.
And they will break Matt Hardy.
And then they win back the tag team titles.
No. Well, what? I want the Revival to keep them, because as much as I like the Hardys and as much as I enjoy them, it's the Goldberg thing. They're a nostalgia act. They shouldn't beat younger talent. Like Kevin Owens. Like the Revival.
The problem is the broken thing is over at the moment.
Yeah, it's over at the moment, but so was Goldberg at the time when he came back. All I'm saying is, like, yes, the Hardys are good, and yes, the broken thing is over, but that shouldn't happen at the expense of a younger talent which needs a win more, like the Revival. This is the last run the Hardys are having, I'm convinced. So, what better way to do it than to, one, get the broken gimmick back, and two, just put over a Revival, have a Revival, like, win decisively so the map becomes broken multiple times, and then just move on to have many entertaining feuds with other people without the tag titles.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that, are they?
Well, we don't know if they're going to do anything until it's on the TV. That's what I mean. Like,
I guess we'll just have to watch this space.
We will. So, can I do the plugs now?
Yes.
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. It is The Supla, same name as everywhere else. What do we have, Andy?
We have a Patreon.
We do, where you can pledge money to us, either $1 or $5, depending on what you feel and how rich you are, every month, and you get a variety of rewards, such as...
us. By us, I mean me and Liam. Reviewing and... you will get live commentary and live reactions is the word I'm looking for. Do classic pay-per-views and classic events. Classic for good reasons and for bad. Also, we have many other things, such as a gaming channel. You're sick of wrestling? Don't worry. We play Grand Theft Auto too much. And you can watch us play The Magical Adventures of Derek.
You done?
I'm done there.
What do you think about any of the stuff we've said in the show today? What do you think about Jinder Mahal? What do you think about the Broken Hardys potentially being on TV? What do you think about Pandemonium, the Vince McMovie?
Also, go to WrestlePundit.com. It's Keelan's website.
Go do that. Go do that.
Yes.
And so, the streak continues. Will I be wearing pants next time? You'll have to tune in and find out.
Why did you have to bring that up?
Because what else am I going to say?
Triggered!
Oh, stop.
I have been Andy Plum.
I have been Sam Brooks.
And we will see you next time.
We'll see you this weekend, live, for Suplaback, which may just be Andy.
Yeah, so God help me.
God help us all.
God help the planet. Maybe before that.